Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Genesis 12, 1 through 4. Now the Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abraham went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. These things we pray in the name of Jesus, who is our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So today I want to ask you for a show of hands, how many of you love change? Okay, it's a few hands. That's more than I expected. Okay, well, let me rephrase it. How many of you wish that you were still infants? Okay, that's what I thought. All right, so one more question. You want to be an infant? You do? Think about that. Because mommy can hold you. Mommy still does that. Oops, there goes the pulpit. So another question. How would you live your life if the world was ending? And I'm waiting for answers. Come on. Yes. Be with family? If the world was ending, one day at a time? Yes. Any other thoughts about this? Pray. A lot. A lot. Somebody see a hand over there? No? And the choir has a hand. Get as much joy in your life as possible. Ooh, I like that one.
And that would mean chocolate.
And that means chocolate. Lots of it. Head to the store quickly. Chocolate can be a weapon, you know. Yes. Have as much love in your life as you can gather. So see, when it comes to the world ending, we're going to make some quick changes, aren't we? It seems that we have a gut reaction, though, to the idea of change, especially change in the church. We think it's a negative thing, a scary thing. But if the world were ending, I guess there's a sense of urgency to change a few things in our lives rather quickly. The idea of change also opens doors to what seems to be risky. What's going to happen next often appears we'd rather not know. The story of the call of Abram is about to change. But before we get into that, just a couple of things worth noting. The first of that is known as the shorter version of Abram because that his name had not changed to Abraham until much later. And secondly, God does not ask Abram to leave, but rather he tells him to. Not in a negative or angry way, necessary, but without room for debate. He said, go, leave your country and your home. How would you like to do that? Think about that. Just leave everything and go. Now, in those days, that was almost exclusively a negative thing. Long before there were emails and texting and quick phone calls and folks that you got to call back home,
Even snail mail didn't exist back then, and to leave meant to go and don't plan on ever coming back. The statement has no sense of casualness to it at all. There's a finality to it. It's as if God is saying to Abram, I want you to leave everything you know, everything you're familiar with. In other words, it's about changing your entire life. It's about being scared, and it's urgent. For this is God saying, I want you to leave your cherished ideas, your family, your friends, your home, the things you hold true and self-evident. I want you to set aside your preconceived notions about how the world works. You know, that issue that you've been grappling with and you finally got the answer to, well, I want you to leave that too. Set it aside. In that context, suddenly this is no longer the epic tale of a brave soul's setting out on a great journey. Rather, it's a story of you and me being confronted by life. It's about daring to step out anywhere, anytime, because God tells us to. Now, 30, 40, 50 years ago, divorce was rather frowned upon, and today it's quite common. There's a story about a man who called a friend he hadn't spoken with in a while, and he said to him on the phone one day that he was recently divorced. And the friend said, I don't believe in divorce. He was pretty blunt about it. Gathering his wits about him, the man said, you know, I didn't believe in it either. Then it happened to me, and I'm still here to tell you about it, so I guess I believe it now. It can be one thing to have various ideas and beliefs, even good ones and strong ones. It's quite another to have them challenged and shattered by something that happens to you in your life. Does it mean that we shouldn't have strong ideas? No, of course not. Does it mean that we lead our life only by our experiences? No. God still has the last word, and we need to keep that in mind. But maybe it means that we have to be open to what God might be telling us about some of our ideas and our experiences. Maybe it means that we have to leave absolutes to God. But certainly it means that whatever you are experiencing, God is in it. God is always with us. Now, if we were to take the lectionary reading by itself, all of just 3.5 short verses, the story might seem rather innocent, even heroic. Go to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. Now that seems harmless enough. Heck, it even sounds like a great offer if you ask me. Who wouldn't want to become a blessed nation and blessed by God? Except it's difficult, probably impossible, to read this outside its wider context. Look again. Abram and his wife are getting on up in age. And Sarai was barren. We are told in the second half of verse 4 that Abram is 75 years old, which is at best a gross exaggeration meant to imply that he was so far over the hill that he can't remember even where the hill is. But now I would argue that. But still, leaving your home and going somewhere at 75 years old that you didn't know where you were going is challenging. Beyond that, they had no children. And at Sarai's age, this is no longer a realistic option to have a child at 75. Beyond that, and then the statement also is in today's reading that seems a little more than just a cruel joke. It's as if God is saying, hey now, Abram, I want you to do something. Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot. It won't work. That's not the kind of God that we have. God doesn't do that. God does not put individuals to such trial and tests, neither in biblical times nor at any time. Do we see God poking fun at us or mocking our situations? So in the end, Abraham does indeed have a child with Sarai. However, it's important to take today's reading on its own, focusing on what happens here rather than looking for what might reduce its extraordinary challenge. For in a miniaturized version, God simply says, "Go," and Abram goes. It's that basic and that frightening. God speaks, and Abram walks. So where does that leave us? When we experience God speaking to us, are we inclined to listen and say, "Yep, let's go, God," no matter how challenging it is out there? When I was called to ministry 30 years ago, I looked for an out. I said, "Really? Who, me? I'm a busy mother. I don't have time to do this. Besides that, how will I do this?" This was during a time when I was one of the first women to work as an ordained minister in the United Church of Christ. There weren't a lot of us around. But God said, "Go." Do we want, with written guarantees from God? I certainly was thinking, I need a guarantee this is going to work. Do we want that from God, that things will work out if we go? Do we want a contract that spells out the details of the blessing God promises and clauses on how we will expand and flourish and et cetera, et cetera? Or do we have the faith that Abram models here? Are we able to say, albeit timidly, "Okay"? To ask it another way, what is the value of the promise of God? Are we able to trust if God says this will happen and go with it, even if it means our world is going to be turned upside down, crumbled to pieces? In the lectionary reading from John's Gospel today, Jesus challenged Nicodemus to change, to understand something he didn't understand. Haunted by questions, religious leader Nicodemus goes to Jesus with a question on how are you born again? Once you come out of your mother's womb, how do you do that again? And so, like Abram and Sarai, Nicodemus struggled with this understanding what seems to be impossible. And Jesus answered him in verse 7, "You must be born again." Jesus tells him, "From above, by God's Spirit." Both of these scripture lessons today point to this truth. What seems impossible to us is possible with God. Jesus told Nicodemus and us, "Go, be baptized, and be born anew in the Spirit." God is with us, and all things are possible because God is with us in this journey. So I ask you again, how would you live your life if the world was ending? What is that still small voice asking of you today, asking of us today in this congregation? Would we go where God tells us to go? God is telling us to go to Jesus, the incarnate Word, and be blessed anew in the Spirit. And that's where we will begin to discern and find the answers of we're looking for. And wherever we are, whatever journey we are traveling, God says to us, and in many ways and at unexpected times, "Go." And we are the ones whose response will write the next chapter. Amen.